Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First, yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Wednesday. Is Parliament TV boring? Are we doing enough to protect our kids' teeth? Cats, very much the discussion yesterday, given Gareth Morgan was at it again. And some weird drinking habits from our elderly population. But first up, is politics the best game in town at the moment?
Labour tries to reduce Nationals' influence by reducing the size of select committees, reducing democracy by decree. Admittedly, National had the same idea a year ago, but this makes National very angry. Then we come to the first day of Parliament. National asks the question, do you have the numbers to vote in the Speaker? Labour goes, maybe we don't. So they do some horse trading and they replace the select committee numbers. Afterwards, everyone realises that Labour had the numbers after all. Then all the government supporters start saying, hold on, National cheated. Here's my opinion. No, they did not. National did not. It was unsportsmanlike. But they did not cheat. All they did was exactly what an opposition should do. They asked a question. Brownlee did it. Do you have the numbers? Which Labour didn't answer, though they could have if they just stopped and counted the heads in Parliament. So welcome to the grown-ups table. Now, these two parties are at each other's necks, and it's fascinating to watch. Meanwhile, Winston Peters starts actions on nine people who told the truth. The truth is, he made a mistake in his superannuation application. Yes, it's a private matter. They may have broken the Privacy Act in saying that, but nevertheless, he made a mistake in his super application. This from the man who's heading to APEC to argue our trade deals. And he can't even fill out a super form correctly. I mean, you can't write this stuff. No matter which side you're on, the other side is just as bad as the other. No one comes out of it very well, but I tell you what, it is very entertaining.
Is it? Sounds very technical. I guess if you're... Anyway, I'm not sure everybody found it entertaining. Let's put it that way.
I watched a bit of Parliament today. Flip. I don't know what to make of it. I was lost for words. I know we've got a situation with the Westminster system. We've got a debating chamber that's the exchange of ideas and the cut and thrust of politics. But it seems to me as though it's an extraordinary waste of time. I don't want to say that malicious way. Everyone there looks bored as though they could be doing something better. Could they Skype in from their desks or something? And that ridiculous thing that now they televise, maybe it's worse since they've televised it. Because everyone gets on the back of shot smiling and nodding. It's dreadful. If I keep watching this, I won't be voting next time. And it seems to be the whole kind of setup of the channel seems to be lackluster. It's also wooden, actually wooden, the wood-lined room. There's something about it that's wrong. The layout, it just seems to be so, I don't know, empty, sparse, and wooden.
Yeah, I mean, that was Labour's problem, wasn't it? They didn't get enough people to turn up. Every time I've ever tried to watch Parliament TV, it's not on. It's just a green screen saying when they're going to be back. They never seem to actually be doing any Parliament when I watch. So then I just go back to, the things I'd rather watch. Spaceships and car chases and explosions. That's what I like to watch. Aliens. You just don't get enough of that stuff on Parliament TV, is all I'm saying. Sometimes they talk about aliens, but not very often. Now, all our kids' teeth are falling out, apparently, and it's a disaster. Here's Leighton on this.
Now, unless you can nail down what the real problem is, you can't fix it. It's a principle of gravity. Unless you nail the problem, I mean the cause of the problem. We know there's a problem, so the cause of the problem, you can't fix the symptoms because you don't know how to do it, because you don't know how to address it, because you don't know which way to look. So here's the question again. In your opinion, Is it growing financial poverty or is it growing parental attitude poverty? Which is it that's at fault? And then we get the excuse that, you know, there's families sharing a single toothbrush because they can't afford anymore. I will not accept that in a fit. I do not accept it. And I don't believe that anybody can provide me with the evidence that that's the case. I'll bet you, if you find me a place, a domestic dwelling, where they say we can't afford a toothbrush, I'll go in there and I'll find stuff that they can afford that they shouldn't have in the first place. And I'll bet you that for a substantial amount of money. Or whatever it is you want. I'll buy every kid in the country a toothbrush or something. Because I know that it's true. Wrong priorities is more likely to be the problem than poverty.
But also, when you drill down on the stats, and Mike Hosking made this point yesterday, I mean, admittedly, I have a good seat to hear what he has to say. I'm literally sitting here looking through a window, listening to him. It's my job. But when he asked the lady from the Dental Association about these numbers, he pointed out that the population is actually growing faster than the number is growing. And it's often the case with these stories, you know, we see that the number's gone up, but it hasn't actually gone up by as much as the population. So percentage-wise, it's gone down. So, you know, you put it that way. Anyway, I mean, obviously people should brush their teeth. There should be a pill for that, don't you reckon? Got off topic, so let's talk about cats instead.
Kerry Jean, hi.
Hi, how are you? First of all, I need to say this. Every day at work, I have my headphones in my ears and I listen to you, Kerry, and Mark every single day.
Bless
and
you.
Sometimes I'm sitting there cracking up laughing at the both of you because you are just awesome to listen to. I really am. Today I'm on annual leave.
Yay. So any special reason?
Day off.
How come?
Because tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh, my God, you and Neva. You and Neva are twins. Neva Ritamanu, our newsreader.
It's in November.
Yeah.
And you do not associate it with the 9th of the 11th. Hello.
Of course.
I've had that done to me before in the past where someone's gone, oh, that's an appropriate birthday. What?
Well,
9th of November, it's not just the 9th, 11th of September.
Exactly. It's just the way the Americans do their months and dates.
Oh, I see.
Absolutely rock. And how many times I've said at work going, far out, I want to ring you guys. I want to ring you in a car because I'm at work. But every single day I listen to you.
Aww.
And I think the pair of yous rock. Seriously. Now, the other question is cats.
Yes.
My baby, I've got three of them.
Yes.
They are my absolute everything. Everything that I could ask for. I don't have children.
Yeah.
And so therefore I never had a child or in my life. My cats are my absolute rock.
So Kerry Jean there loves Kerry and Mark, and her cats are her everything. I mean, she's got a point. They are definitely better than children. I had both children and cats, and even though one of the cats I have doesn't like me at all, I still it's a lot easier than either of my children. I very rarely have to drive the cats to any kind of practice or rehearsal or sports event in an inconvenient time. We're going to finish up here talking about. Apparently, old people are calling taxis not because they want to go anywhere, but they want the taxis to bring them some booze.
So what's wrong with pensioners having a few drinks?
Well, look, I think you've actually hit on exactly the thorny grey issue here, is that we have to balance not only the rights of any individual in New Zealand to purchase and consume alcohol lawfully, you have to balance that with this area of aged residential care where we know older adults are at significantly higher risks of alcohol-related harm. So it is an unusual case. I haven't heard of it before. I know this case in particular is based on anecdotal evidence.
Yeah.
I don't have any indications that this is widespread, But I have absolutely no doubt that it's probably going to become more of an issue because we have an ageing population, and we also know that baby boomers now are drinking much, much more than previous cohorts of older adults. So older adult drinking is going to become an issue.
Okay, and I think we should keep this in perspective. I kind of think the story may be overblown, but however the issue... So when we talk age residential care, we're talking about people aged, what, in their 80s, 90s, what?
In general, it is the oldest old, but primarily it is people that are older than 65, but those that are in care because they are generally physically disabled or that they need support and care for daily living.
Right, so therefore they have an illness to start off with, they're sick.
Absolutely, which is what makes this such an interesting issue, is that the people that we're talking about actually are much more likely to have serious health-related complications due to alcohol use because they're on medications that interact with alcohol. And it is very difficult for health professionals to identify the clear line between what you're allowed to do as an individual and their duty of care to ensure that their clients are healthy and maintained in good stead.
It's certainly my intention when I am elderly, or even more elderly than I am now, to drink constantly, try and maintain that at least a 2-drink buzz till the end of my days. What's the point in doing anything else? Have I got troubles? Have I got issues? Is that not healthy? I don't have the answers to any of these questions. Thanks for listening to News Talk ZB for another day. We'll be back tomorrow for more. I won't have any answers then either.